good day in recovery with Shauna.
Hi, Vincent.
Well, thank you very much for organizing this thing. Debbie and Ruth, this is a Zoom meeting, a pretty big Zoom meeting with breakout rooms and everything. Shauna actually tried to explain it to me. I thought, oh, it's pretty complex. So, thank you. That's what I want to say. And thank you also to the two speaker couples before us. I think everything which is really helpful was already said by you, David and Capico, and by you, David and Linus. So, I think we can relax and do some small talk. We don't have to talk anything. I think we're paid for it, right? We should. I think we should also say something about us, how we met and so on. So we met in 2010. Actually, we met at a AA Al-Anon roundup or convention in my hometown. And it was a very, very special getting to know because on a Saturday evening, she told her life story in AA. And the next morning, Sunday morning, I shared my story in Al-Anon meeting. So we got to know each other from the inside out, so to speak. So this is a unique way. I think most people, they do it the other way around. So, and we both thought that after she's in the program for a long, long time, I'm in the program for a long, long time, so I thought we are perfectly recovered. So relationship, coupleship should be a piece of cake, no problem. And it was that way for a year, year and a half. And then I found out, and maybe she too, I can tell you, my recovery sucked, and sometimes still does. it's amazing how illusions work. But I think it's the charming truth of a relation, of a committed relationship, that I really see myself in her, in our relationship, in our difficulties, especially all this friction. Helps me to see myself and to accept also slowly. So, and then the 2 years was really bad. It was so bad that she moved out twice for a week or two. And usually 1 + 1 = 2. After RCA, it could be much more. And before RCA, it was much less than 1. So we came together and we just hurt each other tremendously up to a point where it's unbearable for both of us. When we came to RCA in 2015, I think, yeah, and the first year, I have to admit, was painful, and it was kind of, it was not coming to RCA and everything went up and better and more beautiful. It was, the first year was really hard, tough, relapses, just difficult. But thank God we had this one agreement that we wouldn't stop, or that we wouldn't leave each other before we reached step 12. That really helped us. There was one excellent advice from my sponsor couple back then. Whoa! Thank you, sponsor couple, and thank you, God, for that. Because otherwise, this meeting would be without us. All right. I don't know, maybe one or two of you profit from this talk. I definitely profited. You know, thinking about this topic and reflecting on it helps me to realize more about our communication and more about the flaws in our communication. So I found actually 4 points or 4 topics in this talk. One is the physical part of communication. So that starts with speaking clearly. And quite often I mumble, I know, but I don't speak clearly. I speak sometimes in a lazy way, you know. And of course, then she doesn't understand me. Sometimes she talks when we're in different rooms. It happens sometimes that I call to the floor upstairs, tell her something, and she, of course, doesn't understand it. So now if the physical part doesn't work, if I don't hear what she says, then a good communication is really difficult. So it's recommended to speak in the same room with a clear language and also with a certain energy. Speaking about energy, I think nobody can see the change of my energy as quickly as Shauna. You know, when we have a talk, especially if it's a delicate talk or difficult talk, and my energy changes from being right, quite relaxed to a different tone, a different, something radiates. I don't know exactly what, but Shauna realizes it very quickly. And then I'm in this, teacher mode, or I know it better mode, or, you know, it sounds a bit arrogant, probably, or I sound a bit arrogant. So, and in this mode, it doesn't make sense. And Shauna does probably the right thing and says, no, we should talk later or some other day, but this is not a good way to continue our talk. And then I wrote down starting a deep conversation when one of us is tired or stressed out or in a bad mood. Any questions regarding that, ask David. You had this perfect list of things, what to do and what not to do. Amazing. Thank you. Really, thank you. Very helpful. Okay, so this was topic A. B, I called listening. And listening, I'm sure, is not only an important part of the conversation, it's probably the most important part. And quite often I'm not really listening, actually. Because listening for me starts with a desire to understand, a desire to find out what the heck does Shauna want to tell me. You know, I sometimes hear the words, there's a word in which triggers something which happened 50, 60 years in my case before, and then I start defending, and then all hearing, all listening is gone down the window. There's no listening anymore because I'm so busy with defending or explaining. However you call it, it's not listening. And I should also check my attitude. Sometimes I'm in this attitude that Shauna is a team member, she's my life companion, she's my best friend. Now she's the one I choose, she's the one I want to live the rest of my life with. That's a fact. And sometimes I'm in this tunnel and I think she's my competition, or she's my enemy, or it's my job to improve her, stuff like that. And it's, I don't know where it comes from. I would call it ego, the source of it. Also, to check my mode, am I in an open mind, meaning that I can really accept new stuff which I maybe don't even agree with, or do I already have my preset mind and or in defending mode? It's interesting also to ask myself, how do I feel about myself when I communicate, or especially before a difficult topic? This question I should always ask myself, how do I feel about myself? Am I stressed? Am I in, I call it the Flugscheißer mode, I know it best, I know it all, and I know it even better than you mode. Definitely not a good point, a good time to start a deep conversation. And also, in a communication, it is two people speaking. And do I take the time after I heard something physically, do I take the time to check, did I understand? No, and then if I don't understand, I should say, wait a moment, I didn't get it. Can you explain it again? But to understand is important, and also to allow to settle it. And quite often, my way of communicating is more like ping pong. You know, I hear something and I try to not interrupt. It doesn't work all the time. And I try to not interrupt, but very quickly I respond. And sometimes it's so quick that I'm surprised by myself. It's kind of, you know, automatic reply. So, and I found out that listening requires zero defending. As soon as there is some kind of defense in my head, I really should stop and go on my knees until this defending stuff is gone. So it was time to take a minute. Oh, wow, that's fine. Time goes fast. You only have 30 minutes together, right? Yeah. Go. Yeah. So then the third one is silent communication. To watch my thoughts, recognize my emotions. Is there some self-pity, some jealousy, some neediness, some resentments? Because they communicate without any one word or one syllable said. So I remember times when I woke up and my first 100 thoughts were something negative about Sean. Now, how awful can that be? But I'm sure that those thoughts, they came across. A nice suggestion from a sponsor couple. After I say something negative to my partner, to give her 5 compliments. Not often done, I have to admit. No. I know it, but something to be worked on, for sure. How about gratitude? You know, to remind myself that I'm the luckiest guy on this planet, probably. If I'm not in my tunnel and listening to my monkey mind telling me that she should be this or she could do that better, whatever. I'm lucky. I'm really lucky. Actually, 10 minutes ago, more 20 minutes ago, I told her that I love her. And it's so beautiful to do that with my own conviction. You know, I know I love her. And I'm grateful most of the time, not always. So, and I found out that changing people is God's business, definitely not mine. Becoming aware of myself, that is my business. This, you know, to recognize my thoughts, to recognize my words, to recognize my mood. I mean, this is really helpful. And the last one is called Silence is Golden. Sometimes in the conversation, I say no without a split second in it. For example, are you angry or are you upset? Are you whatever? And I just did. Nope. Bullshit. Of course I'm angry. Whatever. So, to take some time and to just shut up and think first is, 24 seconds. And after my partner shares, it's another example. After my partner shares something with me which really bothers her, the challenge for her, it's difficult for her, I right very quickly come up with a solution. I'm a man and I'm a technician. I'm a repair guy. I try to fix everything. So of course I want to fix my wife, but first of all, it's not my job. Second, my best thing to do is to just share either nothing or say, I understand, I hear you. Yeah, must be really painful. But please, Gunda, do not come up with a solution. It just doesn't work. It's not really helpful, I found out. So, spiritual summary, I cannot really control my communication. I can't control my emotion. I cannot even handle our relationship without a higher power. I asked myself, do I have conscious contact with my higher power, or am I in conscious contact with my ego? Who is running the show here? And third, if my ego is running the show, go on my knees, turn to God, and ask for directions. It's called surrender, I think. And with that, minute too long. Thank you. Your turn.
Hi, I'm Shana in Recovery with Punja.
Hey, Shana.
Thank you for inviting us today. It's very difficult to feel in any way qualified to talk about communication.
Yeah.
But I really believe that probably because we need it the most, that we're working so hard that maybe we do have, we do have something to say, at least Punja that. And it's really inspiring to know how far we've come. And because we don't just have like the male-female difference, but like the language barrier, the cultural barrier, the technician barrier. Like we've got a lot of obstacles that we try to juggle, but doesn't really matter. This is the topic. So thanks for inviting us. And yeah, from my background, I grew up in a Canadian household where communication was not on the agenda. We were four people. We each lived on our own little island, and we met once a day for dinner, and we didn't really talk. And the main things that happened in that house were passive-aggressive silences, which could last for days, keeping feelings in because it's a hassle, and also to protect myself. It wasn't safe to say how I felt, and you know and to not ask for what I needed, because I learned very quickly that if I asked for what I needed, I wasn't going to get it anyway. And so it was better not to ask. And it was also sold to me as kind of a gracious thing to let other people go ahead of me, to not be greedy, to not be selfish, to, you know, let all that happen. And, you know, the example I had was in the extreme that I think when I was 5 or 6, I broke my arm. And my parents didn't take me to the hospital until bedtime because I couldn't get my pajamas on. And I managed to go the whole day. And then 2 years later, I broke my collarbone. Same thing happened. You know, like, this is communication in my family. Like, you know, my arm hurts. It's nothing. Take an aspirin. You know, so this is the place where I grew up. And so I learned that if I really wanted to get what I want, then I need to be cute, be funny, manipulate, pretend, people please, do all kinds of acting, unnatural things, and, you know, forget about me. And then I met Gunter, and he's got 3 children and a big family. And so, you know, this was not a good place for me to be, you know, like, invisible. So anyway, when I started, before Gunter, I was married for 18 years. And it was like a totally normal marriage. We were both in active addiction. We were both doing our own thing. No one was controlling. No one was manipulating. I was just doing like free as a bird. And the marriage ended because I got sober and he didn't. And so I thought, that's the way, you know, it looked like my family. Or maybe it was the opposite of my family, because my family, my father was military, so everything was really controlled. And with my Dutch husband, everything was just easy. And then I met the German. It looked a little bit like my father again. And, you know, and I was like, hey, this is, I'm not sure if this is what I signed up for. But you know, he had a hard time with me because I did not know the basics of communication. I would think things, like I'd come in, there'd be flowers on the table, and I'd think, oh, nice flowers. And then 10 minutes later, he'd come in, and I'd like, hey, hi. Like, just wouldn't remember to tell him. And or I'd think, wow, he's really good looking. He looks so nice today. You know, I just would not communicate anything I thought. I thought it was like, he just has to know. He should know I'm here. And I would like, I wouldn't answer the phone. I just thought this is just the way I am. And I would walk out of the room and, you know, he didn't know if I was going to the bathroom, if I was going to get a drink of water, or if I was going up to my atelier for 2 hours. Like, I just, you know, it was like a closed book, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. And another thing, big thing, when I would go out with friends, and I'd say I'll be home, like, I plan to come home around 3. And then if it was fun, I'd stay. And I thought, he knows where I am. And I also thought, and I'm a grown woman, and he's not my dad. But he acted like my dad, and he'd phone me up at these parties, or he'd phone me up with my girlfriends, and I'd be so, like, embarrassed. But on the other hand, it was nice that somebody cared about me, because my parents were, anyway, absent. You know, my mother left when I was 15, and I was then raised by my father from that time. And it was very confusing because he would be very controlling and he wouldn't let me out the door until I said when I was coming home. And that's kind of what it felt like with Gunther. And so I interpreted that as being controlling and trying to oppress me, trying to break my spirit. And Gunther had this thing of, what did you have? Fear, and fear of abandonment, and just fear in general. And so we were, like, triggering each other majorly. And that was the bottom line. And we didn't know what, you know, it was just like, leave me alone. And he's like, you have to be this way. And that was sort of what was going on with us. And so there was a lot of pain and a lot of things that we needed to learn in order to start this journey together. And yeah, I'll start with this one. We needed to learn what's, okay, number one is blaming, shaming, and defending are no-go. As soon as I get on that train, there's, you know, I got my earplugs in and my sunglasses on, I'm not going to get any kind of information in. And we've been working using Appendix B on those issues with our sponsor, Appendix B from the Green Book. It's just working the steps through. Okay, this is the issue, step one, go through, and then we share it with them. It's kind of, you know, and you just feel yourself kind of thawing out as we go through this process. It's amazing. And I also had to let go of the conviction that I'm wrong or bad or responsible for my partner's unhappiness, which is also a form of self-centeredness because it's all about me. Because it blocks me from being compassionate or hearing his pain. And recently he told me, it hurts me that you have a resentment against my daughter. And of course I was like, whoa, don't you know what she did? Like, like this big, you know, wave back. But then, you know, just leaving it time and slowly, like, just holding myself. And he said a couple of times, it hurts me. And then I heard that and just went from my head into my heart. And I was able to say, okay, I'm sorry. I know I have a resentment. I'm really sorry that hurts you and hurts me and her too. But it's the St. Francis prayer, better to be understood than to, no, other way, better to understand than to be understood. It is a hard thing to do, but that's where the healing happens. And yeah, another thing, like not reacting, which Gunter also shared, just you know, slow down. And you know, sometimes we ask each other, like, what's going on right now? Like, what are you feeling? What are we talking about? And then we just wait a few minutes and let ourselves sort of land, like, yeah, like, because, you know, we're in the conversation to get back at what's going on with me. And also, if I'm really hurt and really angry, I have to deal with the emotion before I have a conversation with anybody. So my sponsor said, go to the woods, hit a tree, swear, go jogging. I'd be jogging like, fuck you. You know, I don't swear anymore. Like, I'm sober. But, you know, like, to allow myself to be so angry, and so I have to get that out. And then I can come back and I give it to God, really. That's what happens in that space. And I honor myself and my anger, because that's, I need to feel that. Okay, well, I have to let go of playing this communication game that we have, that we make an agreement, like, we're going to keep the shades down in summer because we want the house to be cool. And I'm like, I don't care, like, I could be hot or cold, but okay, we keep the shades down. And then it doesn't really matter to me. But then, you know, I forget I leave the shades up, and then Gunter will point it out to me. And I feel wrong, and I feel, I did it again, and there's something wrong with me. And then later, you know, a couple days later, like, oh, the shades are up, and I go to Gunter, like, Gunter, did we agree that we leave the shades, you know? And then he, then it's like, and I think that I'm showing him, this is what it looks like the way you talk to me. But actually, it's who I become. And it's about, even about things that I don't care about, I'm like, Gunter, and I'm on his case. And I just, you know, just yesterday I said, Gunter, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's the second time I said that. Maybe 3 years ago I said it too, but, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore, because it's not who I am, and it's a stupid game. And, you know, it's about me needing to be right, or, I don't know, wanting to change my partner. When he's just fine, he's a nice gentleman, technician, and what else? That was an important one. I can squeeze that one in. But to say what I mean, because what I like to do is I say, oh, do you want to go down, you know, we're in Venice, do you want to go down that little alley? And he's like, no, but you do. And I always ask him, like, do you want to cuddle? And he's like, you know, like, to actually ask that, and that's the thing, to ask for what I want or need. Because I think if we go down that little alley and it's a dead end, then that's going to look stupid, you know? And just to take responsibility for what I want and what I'm allowed to make those suggestions and give my partner, like, an invitation, like, I want to cuddle with you. And it's totally different than, do you want to cuddle, you know? And I think it's just as good, but it's not. And so this is the one thing, and he pointed out to me, that's a nice thing too, that we can point out to each other. He can say to me, you know, you just interrupted me. And I can say, oh yeah, I'm sorry. And before I'm like, yeah, I did, because, you know, no. And now I say, thank you. Yeah, no, I don't say thank you. I say, yes, I did, and I swallow and say, okay, you know, let him finish. And so, you know, that's something that's changed. When we argue, we don't stay mad. We don't usually go to bed mad. Last time we went to bed mad, it was because I charged the computer. And then at night, because I was up in the middle of the night doing something, I charged the computer, and then unplugged it, went to bed. In the morning, he knew it was the battery was empty. He'd come down, he charged the computer, and I said, oh, I already did it. And he said, how was I supposed to know? And I was like, what kind of reaction is that? What's wrong with you? You know, and I was trying to be compassionate, but we didn't talk to each other. We didn't say goodnight to each other that night. That's my time. Good note to end on. But, you know, progress, not perfection. It can still happen, but we don't stay as mad as long. And we are really practicing the I statements and talking about our feelings, because we have to learn that. And I really am trying to be more respectful in the way I talk to him about his children. If they're hurtful things, they're his children. He loves them. They're the most important thing next to me. So to be respectful and not want to hurt him in any way. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you.